CPL versus Frag Chem Corporation. Ms. Adler.
May it please the court, counsel Marion Adler on behalf of the plaintiff, CPL, Inc. The sole issue on this appeal is whether or not the district court erred in sua sponte entering an order of dismissal based on lack of venue rooted in an arbitration clause that was contained in a supply agreement that indisputably had terminated almost two full years before the sales transaction that's at issue. The key facts in the case are simple and undisputed. In May of 1997, the corporate parent, actually grandparent, of plaintiff CPL, an Indian company by the name of Cadilla, entered into a supply agreement with the defendant, Frag Chem, by which Cadilla would manufacture and sell a chemical known as C product. That 1997 supply agreement included an arbitration clause, section 8.7, which stated that any controversy arising under this agreement will be arbitrated in India. That supply agreement had a five-year term. It read that it had initial term of 5 years. It would automatically renew from year to year unless either party, at least 180 days before that five-year anniversary, gave written notice of a desire to terminate. Midway through that initial five-year term, the parties, by agreement, substituted the plaintiff, CPL, which is an American-based company, as the corporate entity through which the sales would be funneled to Frag Chem rather than the Indian parent. In November of 2001, Cadilla gave timely written notice to Frag Chem of the desire to terminate the contract at the end of the initial five-year term. Frag Chem, in fact, sent a letter back in May 2002 acknowledging that the agreement had terminated. 23 months later, in April of 2004, we come to the sales transaction at issue in this case, which is essentially a simple collection action, but for this arbitration wrinkle. The court read the arbitration agreement in the supply agreement as somehow governing this sales transaction that occurred 23 months later after it terminated. And that decision by the district court is directly contrary to the two decisions that this court entered in the Nissan Motors versus, I think it's the Jim Milady Oldsmobile case. In the Nissan cases, this court made it very clear, following the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Lydon, that once you have a contract with an arbitration clause which has terminated, you need a subsequent written agreement, including an arbitration clause, before you can send a post-termination dispute to arbitration. And those Nissan decisions are rooted in bedrock principles of arbitration law, first as decided in the first options case from the U.S. Supreme Court and many other cases following it, which is parties cannot be compelled to arbitrate unless there's an agreement to arbitrate. And secondly, the statutory provisions of the FAA, which say that the only enforceable agreements to arbitrate are agreements in writing. And there's a wrinkle here that doesn't really need to be resolved at this juncture, which is that there, Article 1 of the FAA deals with essentially domestic contracts addressing interstate arbitration as to claims arising in interstate commerce. Article 2 of the FAA is the implementation of the UN Convention, which relates to international transactions. There would be no question that the original supply agreement is subject to Article 2 of the FAA. This, to the extent we're talking about a non-existent post-termination agreement to arbitrate, it's somewhat unclear which article we're in. Article 1 just requires it to be in writing. Article 2, in fact, requires it to be signed by the party against whom it's sought to operate. But here we have no written agreement post-termination to arbitrate. In response, Frag Chem at this juncture makes essentially three arguments as to why the order should be affirmed. First of all, it points to affidavit testimony by its employee, Karit Parikh, a And Mr. Parikh actually submitted two affidavits in this case. The original affidavit was submitted with the opening brief, which, of course, was in support of a motion under 12b-7, not to go to India, but to bring Cadilla here. And in that affidavit, Mr. Parikh, quite disingenuously, I might say, simply said this sale, quote, arose under the supply agreement. No mention whatsoever about the correspondence terminated. Just said it arose under the supply agreement. In our response papers on the 12b-7 motion, we, of course, submitted the correspondence with an authenticating affidavit. And in response, Mr. Parikh then submits a second affidavit in which he says, oh, the parties agreed to reinstate the supply agreement, and that agreement is confirmed in a letter that I wrote on June 3rd, which was attached. The June 3rd letter, however, does no such thing. It does not memorialize an agreement. What it contains is an invitation, a proposal. Let's do business as though the supply agreement were still in place. There is no confirmatory evidence, much less an agreement in writing, that CPL or Cadilla ever accepted that proposal. And this, again, is directly parallel to the Nissan case, where the party in that case, I believe it was Nissan Motors, kept saying that the parties had agreed to reinstate the terminated dealer agreement, but all it could point to was correspondence where it invited the other side to agree to that. And the court said that's not good enough. Farrakhan then points to the supposed corpus of dealings, because it is, in fact, undisputed that over the course of the next 2 years, the parties did business together. And again, this court's answer in Nissan is directly relevant and disposes of that. All the course of dealings proves is they agreed to do business under some sort of agreement, but it certainly doesn't prove that they agreed to reinstate the supply agreement, and it certainly is not an agreement in writing to reinstate the supply agreement or an agreement in writing that includes an arbitration. And lastly, they point to dicta from the Nolde decision of the U.S. Supreme Court, a 30-year-old decision that talks about, in the context of collective bargaining agreements, a presumption that parties intend to arbitrate disputes arising from transactions even after their contract with the arbitral agreement expired. And that dicta is completely repudiated by the Supreme Court's Litton decision and completely at odds with this Court's decision in Nissan, both Nissan. Unless the Court has some questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms. Adler. Mr. Krauss?
May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Eugene Krauss, and I'm here on behalf of the FLE Fragchem. And in actuality, I agree with many of the facts set forth by my counsel. The primary fact that I think that we disagree with is whether or not some of these facts are, in fact, indisputable. A review of Judge Norgal's opinion reveals that he made a finding that the supply agreement controlled the dispute at issue. Based upon that finding, he went down a particular path. Now, I certainly recognize that that is not a path that the appellant wanted the court to go down, because the appellant's position is that that agreement was terminated. But the only conclusion that I can reach is that Judge Norgal accepted the uncontroverted affidavit of Mr. Parikh that that supply agreement was, in fact, reinstated. And that is how the parties continued to operate for the next 2 years. That's why Cadilla was able to manufacture the sea-based products. That's why those products continued to be shipped to Fragchem. That's why Fragchem continued to pay for them.
You know, it's not in my business, but why in the world would a Niles, Illinois corporation want to have this dispute resolved in India?
Well, Judge, actually, that was one of the reasons that we did not bring a motion to compel arbitration before the trial court.
Didn't you even say you're going to waive it?
Yeah, we would. Absolutely. We are prepared to arbitrate to have the entirety of this dispute decided here in the Northern District. The one thing that Frank Kim does not want to occur is to be fighting about this issue in two different jurisdictions, have some part of it being decided here by the trial court and potentially this panel, and some part of it being decided by an arbitration panel in India.
Well, I agree. That would be a waste of everybody's time and effort.
Absolutely.
You're willing to arbitrate this case in Illinois?
Probably.
Ooh.
Probably.
Well, Ms. Adler would agree to do that. That would be the end of this case.
Yeah, I mean, I would be happy to consider it. It's not something that I've talked to my client about, but my client had previously agreed to arbitrate it in India. I don't know what kind of an issue my client might have in terms of arbitrating it here in the U.S., but we are certainly proceed to have this case heard here in the Northern District in its entirety.
See, Judge Flom and Judge Williams and I were all district court judges. These are the kind of questions
right.
you'd ask in the district court. Mm-hmm. You want to arbitrate it, but why go to India? You want to have this dispute decided. At one time, there was an arbitration.
Right.
Here. Let's all agree to arbitrate it.
I just want to do it once and do it right.
Okay.
Can you talk about why this case is distinguishable from our recent decision in Automobile Mechanics Local 701?
I think it's distinguishable in two contexts. First of all, both of the parties presented themselves to the Seventh Circuit that Judge Norgel's opinion was improper in terms of dismissal based upon 12b-3 for lack of venue. In that case, the parties themselves had not entered into a written agreement to arbitrate. The pension fund and the union itself had entered into a collective bargaining agreement which contained the arbitration clause, not Vanguard, the defendant. In this circumstance, we have Frag Chem and Cadilla, and later in 2000, by amendment, they included CPL, agreed to arbitrate this dispute. So I think that is
there's no writing that CPL or Cadilla indicated they wanted to extend the agreement, the supply agreement.
I would agree with that, Your Honor. The only writing we have is, as counsel indicated, was the June 3rd, 2002 letter from Mr. Parikh to Cadilla. And then, of course, we have the course of conduct thereafter.
Well, generally, you agree that arbitration clauses need to be in writing?
I am, yes. And my position, Judge, is that...
And wouldn't the extension of the supply agreement and the arbitration clause also have to be in writing?
I think just the extension of the supply agreement. And I think that Mr. Parikh's letter to Cadilla, without any contradictory letter back, and then Cadilla's continued manufacture of the C-based product, coupled with their continuing to do business for 2 years after that, is sufficient to establish that the original supply agreement was in fact reinstated and then continued from year to year with the evergreen clause that was included in that agreement. Judge Norgel, having found that the supply agreement controlled and that this dispute between CPL and Fragchem fell within the supply agreement, correctly determined that the arbitration clause was applicable and dismissed this action under 12b-3. So we would ask this court to affirm Judge Norgel's opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Krause. Ms. Adler?
Your Honors, let me start with what may be more of a pragmatic question and not strictly one before the court in terms of an issue of law, but one that all of the court as district court judges are rightly interested in. Why doesn't Cadilla and CPL just agree to arbitrate this case here in the United States? Well, the dispute between Cadilla and Fragchem relates to disputes having to do with the original supply agreement. And there's a flavor of that. I think it's Exhibit 5 to, it's either their opening or their reply papers on the 12b-7 motion includes a translated, very sort of poetic and flowery letter that relates to some disputes about interpretations of the exclusive dealing provisions of that supply agreement and to what extent they continue in effect. And that's the dispute between Cadilla and Fragtam. And it's governed by Indian law, which may be very different than the law of Illinois. And Cadilla bargained for and is entitled to have a panel in India decided under arbitration. And it is not willing, I'm told. I don't represent them directly in this case. They're not a party in this case. And the court never addressed what was, in fact, the only threshold question on the 12B motion brought, which was, is Cadilla a necessary party? They're not. And that presumably will be decided on remand.
And just so I'm clear about this continued doing business, this was done on a, as I understood it, I could be wrong, just a shipment-by-shipment basis, correct?
It was.
For that interim 2 years from June of 02 to March of 04.
That's correct. Sometimes there would be a written purchase order by Fragtam. Other times the orders would be placed orally. Invariably, the shipments were confirmed in writing with our standard term invoice, which lacked an arbitration clause. Second point, the Auto Mechanics versus Vanguard decision is directly on point. There you had an arbitration agreement, and the question was its scope because one of the parties was not a signatory of the agreement. Here you have an agreement with an arbitration clause, and the question is one of temporal scope as opposed to who the signatories were, but it's directly relevant. And lastly, Mr. Preet's letter cannot be distinguished from the Nissan correspondence. We would ask the court to enter an order reversing and remanding the district court.
Thank you, Ms. Adler. Thank you, Mr. Krause. The case is taken under advisement. The court will stand in recess until tomorrow morning.